Okay, guys, we're going to get started with the night here. One of the, we've been taking advantage of Baruch Hashem, the incredible people that we have here in camp over the summer, and also incredible guests. But one of the biggest, the biggest loss certainly this year that Camp Keli has had, and the one that is felt most acutely by the Masmidim, because we haven't had the opportunity to hear from him yet, is having Rabbi Blass not be with us this summer. For those of you who know Rabbi Blass, nothing I say is necessary. For those of you who don't know Rabbi Blass, you should just know, you'll see what a Talmud Chacham he is tonight, I'm sure, or at least a glimpse. You'll see a little bit of the sensitivity, but you can't possibly get the full picture. Rabbi Blass is the kind of person you have a conversation with for like a half hour, and you're like, wow, that was an amazing conversation. That was so great. And then you think to yourself, I just spoke about myself for a half hour, because that's all he wanted to know, was asking questions about an incredibly selfless, sensitive Talmud Chacham, and it's a very great pleasure to have him back, and a very great kavod for us to ask him to deliver the shiur this evening. Okay.
Thank you so much. Rabbi Liebowitz, for now, when you introduced me, and you say it'll just be very short and very minimalistic, so you remind me to not believe you in the future. Rabbi Liebowitz mentioned the whatever the right word, the pleasure of having me here, whatever the thoughts, whatever it is. The reality is that for me to be back in Camp Keli is something that is just incredibly meaningful. We spent 2 years here, myself and my kids, our son Ori, and it was just a just such a special environment. And so much of that for me personally was my relationship with Rabbi Liebowitz, with Chani Liebowitz, and just being in the Beis Medrash. And I'm not sure sort of my feelings of like the new Beis Medrash. On the one hand, it's amazing, it's beautiful, it's like a real Beis Medrash. You sort of like miss that room, you know, trying to learn while they have like the night activity going on and people coming in and out. But it's really something so so beautiful to be here. And I just want to give a special thank you to Mayor, who anybody who knows Mayor loves Mayor, and we love him in YU, and just a tremendous Yeshar Koach for all of your efforts. I saw you just firsthand putting this together, and I hope you feel the nachas of the fruits of your labor, so to speak, and yeshkoach to all of you for being here. Okay, I want to speak about a topic that is close to my heart. I'm sure Rabbi Liebowitz would say the same, and I'm sure for all of you as well. And the best way of jumping into it is beginning with the Rambam, a very famous and, I won't say controversial, but there's a question about the Rambam, where he gets this from. But the Rambam says, Yesh shom yomim shekol Yisrael mis'anim bohem b'nei hatzaros she'ero bohem. Very famous Rambam. There are those days in which we fast. Kedei li'orer halovavos liftoach darchei etshuva. The reason that we fast on those days is so that we could do tshuva on those days. There's a hisorus, there's an awakening for tshuva. Now, this Rambam seems somewhat straightforward, but does anybody have a question on this Rambam? Anybody have a question? The Rambam says the point of having a fast day is to do tshuva on that fast day. Now, it seems like a simple Rambam, but anybody have a question or an issue with it? So the question one might have is, where does the Rambam get this from, right? If a person peruses their knowledge of Shas, both the Bavli and the Yushalmi, do we think of Tisha B'Av as being a day of tshuva? If I ask you what Tisha B'Av is, what would you say? Tisha B'Av is a day of, what's that? A day of, what? A day of sadness, a day of Avelus, it's a day, it's a tzom. This idea that Shavasar B'Tammuz or Sar B'Teves, that the root of it is for the purpose of tshuva, where exactly would a person see that? And this isn't necessarily the topic now, but if a person has a chance, do we have the tshuva's klasam sofer here? Just people have a chance later? Okay, next year, that'll be, Meir, we're putting you, so we'll take a look at the last tshuva, the klasam sofer in Or HaChaim, where he discusses what might be the source of the Rambam assuming that these are days of tshuva. So with that Rambam in mind, I want to think about what could be a unique tshuva during this period of time. Shavuot B'Tammuz, Tisha B'Av, the 3 weeks. How does a person orient themselves? How does a person think about, how does a person connect with tshuva in a very real, in a very meaningful, in a very personal way, during these times of Yemei Mitzarim, during the times of the 3 weeks. And in doing that, I want to begin with one of the more famous Gemaras in all of Shas. I just took out a small snippet. But people, I imagine here, a lot of people have learned the last parak, Maseches Yuma, by show of hands, anybody? Okay, so last parak, Maseches Yuma, is one of the classic Masechtos and Shas, and it really deals with Yom Kippur and the nature of Tshuva and the beauty of Tshuva. So an example of a type of Gemara that appears right towards the end of Maseches Yuma is here, source number 2. Amar Belevi Gedol Tshuva Shemaga'as At Kisei HaKavod, Shenemar Shuva Yisrael Hashem Elokecha. Okay? Tshuva is so great, tshuva is so transformative, it's so transcendent, that it's Maga'as L'Kisei HaKavod. It reaches all the way up to the celestial realms. Anybody know another sort of similar Gemara, all grouped in with these types of Gemaras? That Gedol Tshuva, anybody know? Maybe Refua Liolam, it brings healing to the world. Tshuva is so great that it brings Yeshua to the world. Tshuva is so great because of yada yada, on and on and on and on. And anybody have a question about that? Now, it's not a definitive question. It's not a glock question. It's not something that you have to ask. When we think about tshuva, does a person necessarily feel that tshuva has to be magas l'kisei hakavod? Let's just say you in your life, you've done whatever you've done. Yeah, 3 years ago, you had a cheeseburger, okay? And you did tshuva, and now you keep strictly kosher, badatz, mahadrin, whatever it is. And let's just think that this community had an issue with Lashon Hara, and now they've done tshuva of sorts. We understand the beauty of that, and the importance of it, and the hischaivus of it. But do we assume that change is Maga'as l'kisei hakavod, it reaches to the celestial realms? And maybe the answer is yes, but it just seems as though the Gemara is calling out a little bit, you know, why? You know, what is so, again, transcendent about tshuva that it's maga'as l'kisei hakavod? What is it that allows for such a beautiful description about repentance? Okay? So I want to just approach that with the following thoughts just over the course of the next few minutes, and do so by talking about the topic that really is the focus of tshuva, perhaps during the 3 weeks, and that's the idea of Avas Yisrael. I mean, change that comes specifically in the realm of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. Now, if a person takes a voyage, a trip, a perusal through the mitzvah of Avas Yisrael, first of all, by a show of hands, do you assume that Avas Yisrael is a mitzvah d'oraisa? Is it a mitzvah from the Torah, a mitzvah d'rabbanan? Who assumes that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa? Okay, it's a good assumption. Okay, now even though Avas Yisrael as a whole is not really mentioned specifically, but under the rubric of Hatoricha Kamocha, where the Rambam and the Chinuch and most of the, or I think all of the Monian mitzvos, they assume that there's this mitzvah d'oraisa called Avas Yisrael. And what's the driving force behind the mitzvah of Avas Yisrael? Why? What's the nature of the hischaivus? What's the, if you have to say, the shorish ha-mitzvah, the tam ha-mitzvah? What is the tam ha-mitzvah for Avas Yisrael? And it seems as though if you go through the Rishonim, mostly the Achronim, they break it down into two categories, and each one of those two categories probably have subdivisions within them. The first category, if you're making a chart, is very simply the category of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, that Ahavas Yisrael is motivated by, it's driven by, something in the realm of strictly interpersonal relationships. And in the most utilitarian sense, utilitarian meaning just in a way that benefits the world, is the line of the Sefer Chinuch. I'm sure everyone knows this. But if you have to give a shiur, or if you have to look up a mitzvah, and you want to research a mitzvah, the Sefer HaChinuch should really be sort of like the first address, because the Sefer HaChinuch gives sort of the full scope of the mitzvah. Who wrote the Sefer HaChinuch? Anybody, by show of hands? Good. Yeah, that's right. That's like the trick question for... Okay, we're not sure who wrote the Sefer HaChinuch. We know that whoever wrote it A, wrote it for the purpose of his child, that he can sort of be mechanich his kid in mitzvahs. I'm not really sure. Maybe Rabbi Leibowitz does. It's hard to know this without knowing the author of what was sort of the history behind that. You know, why did someone decide to write their child a book of mitzvahs? It was a kid who was like a little OTD. Like, you know, who knows what the situation was. But he wrote this Sefer Chinuch for his child. And anybody know anything else also in a general sense that's clear about the Sefer Chinuch? We don't know who he was. We don't know where he lived. But if you go through not the Sefer Chinuch, what becomes obvious is, maybe this is not so obvious, such an obvious question, but one point of fact of Sefer Chinuch, anybody, yeah, this is such an open-ended question. Mayor, any thoughts? Okay, Mayor. So is that the Sefer Chinuch clearly knew the Rambam. And the Sefer Chinuch often, I think the way that Rosenzweig, one of the Rebbeim I had said the Sefer Chinuch followed around the Rambam like an Eved Ivri. Me always sort of often following the Shita. And therefore, almost always, if the Rambam counts something as a mitzvah, the Sefer Chinuch almost always does as well, as opposed to other schools of thought. Now, the Sefer Chinuch, the really most significant thing about the Sefer Chinuch, at least in my humble opinion, is that he always gives a tam, he always gives a shorish, he always gives a reason to a mitzvah. And in this mitzvah, Reish Mem Gimel, so the Sefer Chinuch says, shorish mitzvah yadua, it's well known, and this was expressed by the Rishonim, ki kemoshe yasehu b'chevro, ken yaseh chevrovo, just like a person will do for his friend will do back to him, u'bzeh hayashalom ben habrios, as a way of making sure that the world functions properly and peacefully, right? If every single person cut the other person off, and nobody lent money, and nobody visited the sick, and nobody did this, and nobody did that, you know, the world would be just an absolute chaos. The world would be a disgrace. And therefore, on the most simple of levels, the mitzvah of Avos Yisrael is there, but Olam Chaveiro, as a way of just making sure that society runs in a proper fashion. And that's almost like the lowest rung of the mitzvah, is just to ensure that the brios functions in a proper fashion. Now, anybody have another perspective about Avos Yisrael being a mitzvah of an Olam Chaveiro, but maybe different or more, I'll say more sophisticated, but like a different type of spin than the Sefer Chinuch, who's speaking in somewhat sort of utilitarian, pragmatic fashion? Maybe have like a different perspective. I see many of you have gone to Shalavim. All of you gone to Shalavim? Anybody not gone to Shalavim here? Okay, the few, you know, they have to sit in the back row. They have to, you know. Mayor, where do you find them? Where do you, you know? Okay, so especially if you go to a place like Shalavim and you're around people enough, like Rabbi Waxman and others, so and they speak so beautifully about Avos Yisrael, they probably speak more in sort of the second approach than they would just sort of simply the Sefer Chinuch. And that's not to minimize the Sefer Chinuch, but again, it's almost like the first rung of the mitzvah of Avos Yisrael. So can anybody formulate or articulate sort of Avos Yisrael ben Olam Chaveiro that's more than just something pragmatic and utilitarian? So the people who discuss this most, and the Maharal discusses this in many places, and I just gave a small snippet of the Maharal. So, v'davar zeh inyan gadol ma'od, and by the way, this is the Maharal, I'm sure most people know. The Maharal wrote many, many Sfarim, and one of his classic Sfarim is the Nesivas Olam, talking about all the different midos. And in the Nesivas Olam, he has a Nesiv Avas Areya, loving one's neighbor. So, v'davar zeh inyan gadol ma'od, sheyehev es reyo kamoso, the person should love their neighbor like themselves. Aval davar ze bishvil she Yisrael heim am echad umitzad ze ra'oi she yu Yisrael kmo adam echad legamrei v'kasher ein ha'aval chaveiro k'ilu haya ish echad so davar ze k'ilu lo haya Yisrael am echad ulochach ha'mitzvah v'Yisrael v'haftar echa kamocha. Okay, anybody want to either not translate or give a brief synopsis of what the Maharal meant? That there's a sense, anybody of, please, what's your name?
Sense of unity, Donnie.
Donnie, okay.
Sense of unity and
There's a sense of a nishmas Yisrael. There's a sense of the oneness of Klal Yisrael. There's one soul. There's a unity. There's a shared history. There's a commonality. There's a brotherhood. And the Maharal goes on and on about this, but just for brevity's sake, just a few snippets. And when people don't treat each other properly, you know, I have the great fortune of living in Muncie, New York. So many great things about living in Muncie, New York. One problem about living in Muncie, New York is that there's too many Jews. Now, what I mean by that is that, you know, if you live, anybody here live anywhere far-flung? You most of you look like you live in Woodmere. But, okay. So, if you live somewhere like far-flung, what's that?
Birmingham, Michigan.
Birmingham, Michigan. I don't even know where that is. But let's say if you live in Birmingham, Michigan, and you see another, you know, Jew in the supermarket. Oh, how are you doing? Shalom Aleichem. You see each other in the Birmingham airport, assuming that, you know, such a thing exists. So you say, hey, how you doing? Shalom Aleichem. And that demonstrates sort of this yisod. There's like a sense of brotherhood. You know, you live in a place, you know, you live in Teaneck, and there's a million Jews there. So, you know, for me personally, I'll walk by people. I'm still a real out-of-towner, and I'll say, Shalom Aleichem, how are you? And the first response I always get, much to the embarrassment of my children often, is, wait, do I know you? Have we met before? What's your name? Why are you saying hello? I mean, that's exactly sort of what the Maharal is describing. When that happens, when there's sort of a lack of that hischabrus, the nishmas Yisrael, the oneness, it demonstrates that in reality, we're not sort of echad, we're not sort of the oneness of a being. And there's a sadness to that. So Avos Yisrael is not just about something utilitarian, but it reflects, again, sort of a shared neshama. Now, for me, the most beautiful, really just incredibly beautiful Maor Mokom that discusses this is in a Sefer, which we have photocopied, called the Tomer Devora, okay? Which I imagine that most people here have not learned, but it's something that should definitely be on the list. Anybody know who wrote Tomer Devora? Anybody know anything about it? Moshe Cordovero. So Moshe Cordovero was sort of the Rebbe of the Arizal, and he lived in Tzfas back during that period of time. And even though most people, everyone here is sort of the Arizal, but Moshe Cordovero in his own right was a hugely significant person in Jewish history and Jewish learning, and he established and wrote a sefer called Pardes Rimonim. We hear the Sefer Pardes Rimonim. It's actually a few different Pardes Rimonims, which was really sort of an encyclopedia of Kabbalah. He was like the first person to characterize, to lay out, to establish what Kabbalah is in a very sort of organized type of way. Most of his Sfarim are hardcore Kabbalistic Sfarim that I imagine most of you are probably not going to learn in your lifetime because they're just not widely learned unless you become a scholar of mysticism. Tomer Devora is a Sefer that really entered into the mainstream and is learned by everyone and is something that sort of speaks to everyone. Now, in Tomer Devora, I just want to give a second introduction. What he does, Moshe Cordovero, is he takes the 13 midos that describe God in the... Anybody know where that comes from? The 13 midos of God? What's that? In Kisisa, okay, but not those. Not Hashem Hashem Korachim B'chanun, but the Midos described in the Navi Micha that we read on Shabbos Shuvah, right? Mikel Kamocha, right? Who's like you, God, etc., etc. And then in that pasuk it says L'she'eris Nachalaso. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the patient God for the She'eris Nachalaso. What do those words mean? L'she'eris Nachalaso. What's the word she'er? She'er is a plato, right? So normally we would say that means to the remainder of his nation, to that which is left of his nation. But the Ramat said that with l'she'eris nachalaso, she'er, what that implies is that just like people have learned Yavamos before, that people that are related are she'er. They're relatives of each other. L'she'eris nachalaso, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his nation are one, right? Yisrael v'Araisav Kitchibrichu Chadhu, that Israel and the nation, the Torah, are one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like a she'er. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is almost like a relative, however we frame that, with B'nai Yisrael. Now, the whole point of the Sefer, the Tomer Devora, and just stay with me for a moment, is that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is A, just like God is a God of patience, just like God is a God of whatever it is, so therefore we need to integrate those same midos as well. So in the same way that Kadosh Baruch Hu is literally like a relative, so deeply connected to Am Yisrael, that needs to be our own perspective as well when it comes to our relationship with Klal Yisrael. So just let's read a few lines. So Kacha Adam Chavero, this is source number 5. Kol Yisrael Heim She'er Basar Eilu and Eilu, literally like one flesh, right? Bibnei Shehaneshamos Klulos Yachad. What does it mean, Shehaneshamos Klulos Yachad? Okay. It means that the souls are completely integrated into each other. Yesh Bazeh Chelak Zeh U'Bazeh Chelak Zeh. Okay. Every person sort of carries around, you know, a piece of the other person with them. So every other soul in Israel has sort of a piece of each other integrated into each other. Now, anybody have just a question on this, maybe in a practical way? That everyone has a sort of like a piece of each other integrated into our own souls. That's a very hard concept to understand. It asks the question, where does that come from? Is that from Har Sinai and how about Gerib and how about all sorts of things? But the general sense that every person's soul is connected with each other. Okay? V'chei mitam zeh, Yisrael reivim zeh lazeh. That's the whole idea of Chol Yisrael reivim zeh lazeh. V'bnei shemamish yesh v'chol echad chelak echad mechavero. Each one of us has a piece of the other inside of ourselves. Ukishachote ha'echad pogim es atzmo, pogim chelak ashel chaverabo. Person goes off and they're chote, and a person goes off and they do what they do, it not only affects them, but it affects every other person in Klai Yisrael as well. Okay? Excuse me? So nimsa misara chelak ahu chavero arevelav. And therefore, there's that sense of a commonality, there's that sense of a connection, there's that sense of the depth of souls that are connected with each other. Now, I just want to mention, that's where the halacha of Kol Yisrael Reivim Zeh Lazeh comes from. That means that if you have not yet been yotze the mitzvah of Kiddush, so it's in a very real, halachic, psychic way, I've not been yotze the mitzvah as well, and therefore, I'm allowed to say it for you, and that's not a bracha l'tala, because, again, we're so connected that so I was not yotze the mitzvah. But again, this is Avos Yisrael, not just in a pragmatic, utilitarian way, but in a very deep, psychic, spiritual, psychological idea of a Nishmas Yisrael. And by the way, that's not something, just before we move on to the next source, you know, that's not something to sort of be viewed at, like, theoretically. You know, again, a person's in an airport, a person sees another Jew, a person feels the tsar of another person. You know, whatever community that you're coming from, you know, do you know how many people in Woodmere or in Teaneck or wherever it is are going through difficulties and can't pay for tuition and are having issues in their homes or issues with their children? It's not just, oh yeah, you know, the Schwartzes. No, we feel something deeply. There's a depth of feeling that Klal Yisrael has for each other, and that is very much an outgrowth of this perspective of the Maharal and the Talmud Devorah. Okay, so this would be Avos Yisrael in the realm of Ben El Mochavero. A would be the Sefer Chinuch, and B would be the Maharal and Talmud Devorah. Does the people have a chance? Just looking at the time for a second. Okay. People have a chance, take a look at this beautiful, incredibly famous perspective of the Tanya. And this is one of the most famous prakim in the Tanya. Anyone want to tell you a little about the Tanya? Who was he? Where did he live? Anybody? When did he live? Okay, so Tanya was Shneur Zalman, okay, the founder, of course, of Chabad. Anybody know sort of when he lived, sort of the time period of the Baal Tanya, like roughly? Like late 1700s. Just to mention this very briefly, you had the Baal Shem Tov, of course. The Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov was the Maggid of Mizrich. The Maggid of Mizrich was really responsible for Hasidus being what it is. He had a Chavraya Kedisha. He had a whole, like, Chevra, like, around him. This was, like, sort of the who's who of Chassidus, the Noam Elimelech, and the Kedushas Levi, and the Baal HaTanya, and on and on. The Baal HaTanya was the youngest, but perhaps the most brilliant of that group. And then, of course, he went on to write the Tanya, where again, he discusses this idea and this mitzvah. And I'll tell you this one blurb from the Baal HaTanya, actually two blurbs. One is that he said, so let's say a person is like a Russia Gomor, right? A person is like a clean sweep. He's smoking a cigarette on Shabbos, that's Yom Kippur, Bifar Hesia, he's doing so lahachdis. I mean, he's like, you know, he's checking every single box. So the Gemara would seem to imply, like nowadays this would be complicated, that you're supposed to not love or even hate that person or be makke that person, okay? But the Baal HaTanya said, if you even look in the middle of the section, but at the same time, there's a mitzvah to love that person. Right? I mean, that the mitzvah of Avos Yisrael never goes by the wayside. You see the guy in shul, when I started in our community, again, not this person, the Rosh Chassid Shalom, but our first year, I spent all my years in the YU-based medrash with people like Rabbi Leibowitz and our Rebbeim, and then in a different community that's a very serious community. And our first year in our shul in Yom Kippur, I turned around right in the middle and I saw two guys talking loudly during Unisana Tokev about the Yankees. And they were using, you know, completely inappropriate language loudly about right in the middle of Mi Yechia Mi Yamus, speaking about something. Now, obviously that person is not a Russia, but even that person who's making you absolutely crazy, and there might be grounds to say this person is even bordering on Rishus. So Baal HaTanya says, concomitant with that, at the same time, there's always a mitzvah of Avos Yisrael. And just the underlined lines on the bottom, so Baal HaTanya talks about the fact that when you see someone that is someone that's frustrating you, the person is acting with rishus, the person is acting in a way that is completely inappropriate, the person is acting in a way that is against the Torah. So the Baal HaTanya said in great sort of Hasidic form, and this very much paved the way for Lubavitch, you know, in the time of the Rebbe, he said the way to really deal with that is just to sort of bestow them with love, bestow them with chesed. A person is making you crazy, right? A person cut you off on the highway, and so just chesed. Chesed is what is machnia, is what negates sort of that anger towards another Jew, and a person should always try to integrate that into life. But again, it's a beautiful marmakum about the nature of Klal Yisrael. Just if people have a chance, I'm sure most people here have learned Nefesh HaChayim, by show of hands, who have learned Nefesh HaChayim, okay? So Nefesh HaChayim is probably most famous for the fourth shar, but the whole Sefer is absolutely so impactful and so necessary. But one of my favorite things about Nefesh HaChayim is the introduction to Nefesh HaChayim, written by his son. Anybody know the name of the son of Rav Chaim Volozhin? Who's that? Rav Yitzchak Volozhin. Rav Yitzchak Volozhin, and then you go through the whole, I'm sure all of you have learned this at some point, but to go sort of through the whole base brisk of Rav Chaim Volozhin, Rav Yitzchak Volozhin, and the Nitziv, and on. So Rav Yitzchak Volozhin wrote a Hakdama to Nefesh HaChayim about his father, and it's so beautiful. I mean, it's so beautiful just to see the impact of a father on a son. And one of my favorite lines in that Hakdama is that his father was on his deathbed, and Rav Chaim Volozhin, his whole body was like racked with pain, and he was screaming out, and he was barely conscious. And he told Rav Yitzchak on his deathbed, he said, the only thing you need to do in your life is to be there for other Jews, because the only reason we were created is just to serve other people. Again, this is Rav Chaim Volozhin, really the founder of the yeshiva movement, of Aderech HaLimud, but he said the only thing that you have to worry about, the only thing a person has to worry about, is just connecting with the brethren of Israel, sort of the Nishmas Yisrael, and a lot of that can be found, the remnants of that, the vestiges of that, in Rav Chaim of Brisk. Rav Chaim of Brisk also, his whole life was a life of chesed, even though he was this larger-than-life Lamdin and the Brisker method, etc. But his whole life was that of giving. Again, just as far as that same feeling of the soul of Israel. It's a beautiful line in the Avos Rabbi Nosson, Kishachalor Lezer Nichnasu Tamid of Levakro. I love all these Gemaras. Where else do you have these Gemaras? Someone's on their deathbed, the Tamidim come in to see them. Probably the most famous example of this. Anybody know?
Sure, Gemara most of you have learned already.
Although any Gemara that you learn in sixth grade is like a waste. But the Gemara is at the end of the fourth parak of Brachos of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, but those Gemaras are so poignant. It's like these amazing people with these last sort of words about life, and what are they going to say, and what are sort of the parting wisdom of a grandfather or father or a Rebbe to Tamidim. So Rabbi Eliezer was ill. The students came in. Teach us one thing. What is the last thing that's sort of on your lips? The last sort of words to us. So Amr Lohem, Setsubi Hisharu Ishbechavachavero. You know, you want to sort of boil everything down. Go out and just be sensitive, be respectful, look at the needs of other people. Again, all of this emphasizing to some degree this idea of the Nishmas Yisrael. Now, with all that being said, that's very much in the realm of Ben Adam Chavero. But like many mitzvos, and mitzvos that really resonate, and mitzvos that are transformative, right? It's more than just being able to characterize a mitzvah as being either Ben Adam Chavero or Ben Adam L'Makom. That mitzvos, in the deepest sense, are transformative and create a religious personality, create like a new gavra that changes the way we are with people around us, that changes the way we are with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. The mitzvahs are more than just, okay, we're going to fit into this category or fit into this category. The mitzvahs are transformative in a way that changes the interactions with people and with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. And many mitzvahs are really hybrids, are integrate those two. Does anybody know like a good example of that? Of a mitzvah that really exists in multiple planes. What's the name of that? What?
Tefillin
first. Right, but tefillin, would you say that tefillin's in the realm of Ben Al-Chavero? Maybe. I mean, maybe
it's...
I
meant in terms of being transformative.
Well, that's definitely transformative, but it's not clear if that exists in sort of multiple realms. So anybody can think of a good example. The mitzvah that really straddles the fence of both Ben Al-Chavero and Ben Al-Makom. Kibbut Av'Aim for sure, and we're going to mention Kibbut Av'Aim in a second. Anybody else? So there's many Ma'amarim Makomos on this. I just mentioned, if you have a chance, this is number 8, Chovos Lavavos. Chovos Lavavos should be like on the top of the list of anybody who's alive, especially if they're Jewish, especially if they're in Yeshiva. For some reason, really, I don't know if you agree with me or not, considering how significant of a sefer it is, it feels like it's almost underrepresented. You know, how many shirim are there in Chovos Levavos? Maybe in Landers, maybe in YU. We didn't, you know, but Chovos Levavos should be on the top of like everyone's sort of to do list. Before a lot of svarim that are more esoteric, people are drawn towards svarim like the Maharal, which is amazing, and svarim like this and Rav Tzadok, and all that's great. But the Chovos Levavos is like really the bread and butter of Jewish thought and Jewish belief. In his introduction to Shaar Bitachon, which might be the most famous sha'ar, the most famous gate to Chovos Levavos, so he discusses the values of Bitachon. And one of the things that he mentions there is that if a person really is the Baal Bitachon in the Kaddish Baruch Hu, that completely changes just the way you are in your life, right? I'm going to be upset because you got the position in Sobai Kolel and I didn't, or you got this promotion and I didn't, or you're in the top shear, I'm not in the top shear. If a person really had an integrated sense of bitachon, that would just change the entire landscape of a personal relationships. So that's a great example of a mitzvah that sort of exists in both realms. There's a very famous concept, I'm sorry I'm speaking so quickly, it's mentioned in the Matzah Ephraim, it's maybe even more famous in the Pri Chadash and other Achronim, about the nature of tshuva. So what they say, essentially, the Vilna Gaon says it's also, that until you have asked mechila from your mother, or from your friend, or from your children, so nothing that you do, ben adam l'makom, is meaningful. You can daven, you can say vidoy for 25 hours, you can cry, and you can chuckle, but if you haven't made things right with your parents, or with your siblings, or your children, or your friends, or your coworkers, so nothing you do in the realm ben adam l'makom actually means anything at all. It's another example of a mitzvah that's sort of a hybrid between two different things. As mentioned, it's not on the piece of paper, but the Rambam says in the Sefer HaMitzvos, I think this is Mitzvah Gimel, in the Mitzvah of Avas Hashem, The Rambam says that part of the mitzvah of Avas Hashem is that you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much that that becomes contagious. You're bringing people close to you. You're being the skier people. You're being the carry people. That your relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is then sort of transferring and translating over to the realm of your relations with other people. Now, that being said, sort of thinking about what Meir mentioned a second ago, it seems that many of the acharonims, going to page number 3, that they look at Avas Yisrael as a hybrid between Ben Adam L'Chavero and Ben Adam L'Makom. And in two different ways. By the way, is everyone sort of following what's going on? I know it's late at night and you guys have been learning all day. Two different perspectives of the relationship between Ben Adam L'Chavero and Ben Adam L'Makom. The first is in an absolutely beautiful Sefer by Rav Kook. Anybody have a chance to learn Rav Kook at all this year? That's fine. That's not necessarily the wrong answer. But Rav Kook is something that I can only just sort of speak personally. The way that he writes and the way that he speaks and his Ava Yisrael and his Ava for Eretz Yisrael and his Ava, it's something that is, it touches a person to the very depths of their core. And Rav Kook, his whole sort of neshama was placed into his svarim. And one of the favorite svarim of Rav Kook, probably because I understand it a lot better than his other svarim, which always makes you like a sefer better. I've had great schos, and for all of you guys who are going to YU, which I imagine is many of you. So first of all, I very much look forward to establishing Kesharim in the future. And one of the things I try to do is to always sort of set up chavrusas with guys there about Sfarim that people might not learn otherwise. You know, Rav Kook and other such Sfarim. So I learned this past year with, anybody know Ellie Weinstein and E.T. Lustiger? So we learned this together the past couple years. So the Midos Hara'ya, or Midot Hara'ya. And there he speaks about the mid of Ahava. Now listen to what Rav Kook says. Rav Kook said that the ultimate sphere of Ahava is Avas Hashem. That's the highest level. He said, but there's absolutely no way that a person can come to love a Kodesh Baruch Hu if they have not developed the core ability, the core value, the koach, to love in the first place. And therefore, if you want to come love a Kodesh Baruch Hu, but you're a crude person, or a cruel person, or insensitive, or you're even a racist, or you're always thinking about, the Goyim and this, he said it's impossible. He said the person first has to come to love the entire universe, the planet, the environment, the world that was created around us, nature. Then a person has to love all of mankind, because all of mankind has a Sem Elokim. That a person has to have an Avas Yisrael. If a person has all of that, they can sort of climb the ladder, climb the rungs, and ultimately have a depth of love for Kodesh Baruch Hu, but that can't exist in a vacuum. That needs to come out of an outgrowth of Avas Olam, Avas Abrios, Avas Yisrael, and ultimately Avas Hashem. Now that's what Meir was referring to before by Kibud Avim, right Meir? That the way, if you're Mechavid your parents, so you can come be mechaved a Kodesh Baruch Hu. If you have no respect for your parents, so how is it going to be possible that you have respect for Kodesh Baruch Hu? It's just impossible. If you're a person of disrespect, you don't feel awe, you don't feel the presence of something beyond you, so how can you ever come to respect God? So it's the human element that comes and leads to the ability to connect with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's Ben Adam L'Makom, but sort of almost on the lower rung, the lowest rung. But there's another element of Avas Yisrael as it relates to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that if a person can really integrate this approach, and guys, just stay with me this for 5 minutes, if a person can really integrate this approach, it literally changes a person's life, a person's thinking, a person's perspective, the way that a person sees the world. And just to give you a glimpse of that, let's take a look in the Maharal, in the Sivas Olam, in the Rav Kook, in the Orot. Let's mention even a few lines. Ukvar biyarnu beperek Moshe Kibel, ki dover ze she'ohev abrios, hu avas Hashem yisbarach gamkin. What did he just say? Okay. That if a person really comes to love people, they're also, at the very moment that you love a person, at the very moment that a husband tells a wife, at the very moment that you see another person and you feel love for them, at that very moment you're also being mekayim avas Hashem. Ki misha ohev es echad Ohev kol maisa yodav asher aso, Paul, that if you love a person, you are acknowledging the godliness inside of that person. You see another person, you love them, you're acknowledging that Kadosh Baruch Hu created this individual, and you see their godliness, and you're connecting, and you're appreciating, and you're seeing that, and you're embracing that. In Avas Yisrael, an Ava for a person, you're also, at that very moment, you're seeing and connecting and acknowledging the godliness of that person. Again, Kimisha Oev is Echad, Oev Komasa Yodov, Asher Oso Paul. Ulufichach Asher Oev is Hashem Yisborach, Eev Shar Shaloye Ohev as Bruav. To love God, to see God in the world, at that moment, you also, how do you not love His creations? If you feel Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world, how do you not walk out? And this was really my favorite thing of being in Camp Kaylee. You're walking down the path at night with the lit up gazebos on a beautiful evening, seeing the kids of the camp, feeling the spirit of the camp, and having a genuine sense of just the godliness of the world, the beauty of the world. There's a kid here, I don't know if I should mention his name, but maybe it's too late. You know, Dov Goldberg, so I think he's in Tanya Yerbunk. So Dov Goldberg is a very, very deep kid. He's going into seventh grade. And some conversation came up in Chinuch, and he said, sometimes I just have to go outside my bunk at night and feel the oneness of all being. That's what he told me 2 years ago in the fifth grade. And look in the sky and the stars and the ground and human beings and the lake and just feel the oneness of all of existence. Sometimes I need to get out of my bunk and to see that. I'm like, not bad, you know. You know, I'm not sure I was exactly in fifth grade holding by that, but it was. But the reality is, that's exactly what the Maharal is saying. A person's connected to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so the person feels that, like in every sort of dalet amos of this world. You love a person, you love the godliness inside of them, and if you have a chance, now we're running out of time, to take a look in this Maharal in number 11, Chidushei Agados, on Shabbos, on Daf Kuf Chav Zayin, of why it is that Gadol Haknas Orchim make a Baal Panei Ashchina. Why would it be that welcoming in guests, that Avraham Avinu knew that welcoming in guests is greater than Kabbalah Panei Ashchina? That sounds like almost a chutzpah, right? Be Adoni, please wait over here. I'm going to go welcome in these three guests, these three Arabs. So Maral says that Avraham Avinu, the greatness of Avraham Avinu, is that he recognized that to embrace, to welcome, to connect with the godliness in man in a human form, and to see that, and to acknowledge that, and to embrace that, and to live that life is so much more significant than just standing on a mountaintop and just communing with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The human form of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in people is Gadol Haknas Orchim Mekabalas Pnei Ashchina. Rav Kook, in his beautiful words, Kishahadam Mesim es libo v'dayto lihistapek b'or eloki, when a person has an intent to live their life lihistapek b'or eloki. For those of you who have not learned of Kook before, this is a typical line. To connect with, to have devekus with the light, the celestial light, hameyer b'knesses Yisrael b'klala, b'chol ha'neshamos, b'chol ha'doros, meyreishis v'yarachiris, person who really sees God, wants to connect with God, sees that in every person, connects with that in every person. Now that's the way that a person lived life. The person really lived life that way, and they transformed themselves that way. They transform themselves, instead of going through life sort of limited and critical and cynical and negative and looking to criticize another person, that community or that person or that this or that world or that guy's talking shul and that guy. The person just has like a spirit of like a nefesh harchava. And they walk down sort of the street the way that Dovid Goldberg does, just seeing beauty and seeing people and seeing greatness and seeing Kadosh Baruch Hu and just opening themselves to that. And they transform themselves to that spirit. To me, that's a tshuva magas, like you say, HaKavod. that's like a different world. It's a qualitative different world. It's a different life.
It's a different energy. It's a different experience. It's a different feel in the world when a person goes from worshiping a Kadosh Baruch Hu mitoch a limited and angry and negative and cynical to something that's very different, that just sees Elokus in everyone and everything around them and brings that close and embraces that. That's tshuva magas l'kisei hakavod. And maybe that's the tshuva. The Rambam says we need to do tshuva during the 3 weeks. That's a tshuva. It's not just more kavana na bracha. That's also important. It's an outlook, it's a perspective, it's a life, it's a tipus, it's an entire essence of a person. If that's the case, we understand very well, it's a beautiful line in the Seel Sesharim. Most people learn Seel Sesharim and they get to like Perek Zayin and then, you know, call it quits at some point, then you get to Chassidus, you're like, okay, that's not, you know, that's not for me, at least not right now. But Perek Yutes is one of the most famous Perakim. There's a line that I love. It's also a beautiful song on the first Waterbury album. Ki ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu ohev ela lemisha ohev es Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves those people who love Klal Yisrael. God loves someone who loves Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves a person who loves Klal Yisrael. V'chol ma she'odem magdil avasol Yisrael. The more that a person gives, the more their spirit is attenuated and connected to Klal Yisrael. Gam HaKadosh Baruch Hu magdil avasol. The question would be, again, with this we'll conclude, is why should be that God loves someone who loves Klal Yisrael? I mean, why is that an element that Kadosh Baruch Hu should love? But what Avas Yisrael is a connection to a person that's really seeing God, that's really connecting to God, who's mistapli, as Rukh says, the Elokus. It's not just that a person has Avas Yisrael, but that his whole life is connected to a Kadosh Baruch Hu through the perspective of Avas Yisrael, and that's, of course, what the Ramchal means of Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oed El Mishol Yisrael. I want to give you guys a bracha. You should have an amazing year of learning. Everyone here knows how lucky they are to have Simcha. Hello, Simcha. And of course, most importantly, Rabbi Leibowitz, who's just an amazing person in all respects. It should be a summer of enormous growth and enormous learning in all areas, but certainly in this midah. Avos Yisrael, Histapuk L'Elokus. Avos Yisrael is a mean of just making society work. Avos Yisrael is a means of Nishmas Yisrael. Avos Yisrael is a means of going up the ladder to Avos Hashem. But Avos Yisrael is a way of seeing godliness and everything around us. That should be the tshuva, that Avos Chinam. And I'm sure all of us next year can be learning Shalayim, Yerakodesh, Meher of Yomeinu, Amen.